Gospel of John, chapter 6, page 1228. If you're using that Bible under the seat in front of you. We're going back to a passage in this chapter that we haven't fully covered yet. John chapter 6, verses 15 through 21. Lord, we thank you for this season. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. A holy moment where your people have gathered. We've come to worship you, and we've also come to hear from you. And so we turn our attention now to your word, and we ask that you would speak to us. We're attentive, Lord. We want to hear from you. Open our minds and hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The book of Job, chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Man is born to trouble." So if you are born into this world, and that includes all of us, right? You are going to face trouble. No matter who you are, no matter where you are born, no matter how much money you're born into, whether you are a non-believer or a believer, you will encounter difficulties, you will encounter seasons of adversity. You will go through storms in life. It is unavoidable. Some of you here this morning might even be going through a difficult storm right now in your life, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. It. Those of us who might be here and are at rest, remember there's always storms on the horizon, and we always need to be ready. And so I want to encourage us as Christians this morning to be courageous in the storms of life. They're coming, they're unavoidable, so be courageous in them. Be fighters, be warriors in the storm, be storm troopers, as I've entitled our message this morning. The disciples encounter a storm in our text this morning. Look at verse 15 of John chapter 6. It says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing." So the disciples get into a boat. They're going to sail across the Sea of Galilee to the city of Capernaum on the other side. The sun has set, it's dark. They are seasoned fishermen. They've been on that lake many times at night. Jesus is not with them on that boat. He stays on the shore. He goes up to a mountaintop, and there he's spending alone time with his Father, and he's praying. So off the disciples go, and when they reach about the middle of that lake, suddenly, the storm. John says the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. This was a terrifying storm that literally left the disciples fighting for their lives. Very strong winds, dark thunder clouds, lightning, rain. The other gospel accounts, Matthew and Mark, tell us that the wind was contrary to them. It was blowing their boat around, so they lowered the sails, and they began to row with the oars, and they began rowing furiously. Mark tells us that they were straining at the oars. And this word straining is the Greek word basanizo, which means an examination by torture. They're going through tormentive physical pain out there rowing like mad. We're also told in the other gospel accounts that they continued this into the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So here's these guys rowing like crazy for like 8 hours. It was agonizing. And they're not getting anywhere. Maybe 3 to 4 miles they cover in 8 hours. It's like running on that treadmill with all you got, but you're really not going anywhere, right? They're waterlogged. They're exhausted. They're terrified. They're freezing. Very, very difficult night. Now, this is the second of two storms that we know about that are recorded during the public ministry of Jesus in his interaction with these disciples. You remember the first time they were all on the boat together and the storm comes. And remember, Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat. The storm's going like crazy and he's asleep. And the disciples wake him up. Don't you care that we're all going to die? And he gets up and he stills the storm. Well, this is a harder test because this time Jesus isn't on the boat. They're facing this storm all alone. It's scarier. It's harder. You know, I find it interesting that many times the storms in life get harder as you go. So, speaking of Jesus, where is he at this moment? Well, he's up on that mountain, right? He's alone, he's praying. And we know from all of the accounts that Jesus intentionally left them alone in that storm. In fact, we know that Jesus intentionally sent them into that storm, knowing that they would go into a storm. The other gospel accounts tell us that Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. He compelled them. The idea is they didn't want to get in that boat without him, but Jesus got them in that boat and sent them out there into that storm. I sort of see Jesus shoving the boat off. Does Jesus intentionally lead us to storms? Yes, he does. Sometimes. And I want you to think about this for a moment. They were obeying the Lord. And out of their obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, they went right into a storm. The obedient servant led into a storm. They were not facing the storm because of sin or disobedience in their lives. You know, there's a lot of storms in life that are self-made, where you make a sinful choice and you bring a storm upon yourself. I think of the prophet Jonah. Remember his story? God gave him a direct, clear order, go to Nineveh. Jonah literally did an about face and went 180 degrees in the wrong direction. He went down and he got on a boat to sail to Tarshish. Well, God sent a storm to wake that guy up. And not only a storm, but a fish. You remember the story. Many people do encounter difficulties in life because of their own unwise, sinful decisions. But that is not the case here for the disciples. In this case here, they're obedient. Jesus is sending obedient servants into a storm. It's intentional. You know what Jesus is doing? Trying to toughen up his team. This is not discipline, this is training. This is laboratory time. Time to get out of the classroom and get in the lab. That's what's going on here. Now, the other gospel accounts tell us that Jesus, while he's up on that mountaintop, is watching them struggle. So I want you to picture this in your mind. He's at the top of the mountain and he's watching his men struggle. His eyes upon them, they never leave his viewpoint. Furthermore, we're also told that while Jesus is at the top of that mountain, he is praying for them. He's interceding for them. Now, take great comfort in that. Those of you going through a storm here this morning, you know, they're scary, they're painful, we don't like them. Many times we feel abandoned. But please rest assured, God never takes his eye off you. The Lord sees you. The psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Just to know that he's watching. He's watching. He sees. Romans 8 says, "It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." He's interceding for you. My friend, listen, take great comfort in those truths. Now, this whole scene, and I really want you to see this morning, this scene gives us a wonderful picture of the church's experience in this world. I want you to think of it this way. We are Christians, we are members of the church, and we are in a boat. And we are rowing through the angry waves of this world. And we are being tossed to and fro by the winds of secularism. Satan comes against us. The world comes against us, constantly trying to neutralize all of our activity. We face tribulations, trials, persecution, hardships. Contrary winds. Sometimes it feels like we barely make any headway at all in the storms of this world. And yet, we know that Jesus has sent us into this world. And his eye is upon us. And he intercedes for us. And he's given us his spirit. And he said, "Go." And so we fight. We claw. We row with good works and gospel proclamation. Despite all of the contrary winds, the church goes out into this world and feeds the hungry in the name of Jesus Christ. Despite all of the obstacles, despite all of the opposition, the church goes out and establishes orphanages all over the world in the name of Jesus Christ. We send missionaries all over the planet. Christians sell everything and go to a foreign land to bring the message of Jesus Christ. We boldly proclaim the gospel message and biblical truths in a society that is hostile towards it. We fight against sin and injustices. We row, we fight, we claw. We fight through those waves, those winds. There's a detail about this story that I've always loved. You don't hear the disciples complaining anymore in this story, or moaning, murmuring. They're probably too busy to do that, right? They're fighting to save their lives, right? But at the same time, I love it about these guys. They don't quit. They don't quit. They keep. They're fighters, troopers. And I admire that. And I think we should all be fighters like them. I think we should grab those oars and row. And I would say to every man, woman, boy, and girl here this morning who claims the name of Jesus Christ, pick up an oar and row. Get in the fight. The whole church is needed. Don't just be a passenger on the boat expecting to be served tea and crumpets. Don't be that Christian on board, sitting there, resting, watching everyone else row. You fight. Go for it. All hands on deck. Amen? Amen? It's a battle. Well, Jesus has intentionally left them alone. This is a test. Now he's going to blow their minds. Look at verse 19. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. Now, I believe that the timing was absolutely perfect. I think it's like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning. Jesus has now decided, I see him walking down the mountain, walking onto the shore, and then starting to walk on those waves towards that boat. And I think he timed it so that he's going to arrive at the boat just as their energy is about to fail. Right at the last possible moment. And here he comes, and they're terrified. You don't see people walking on the water that much, do you? And they've been struggling all night. They're weird. And they look out and they see. The other gospel accounts tell us they think this is a phantom, a ghost. You know, the ancient mariner without a ship. Something that you might see out of a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And they're totally terrified. Jesus, in verse 20, but he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Now you take all of the accounts together, and what happens is here he comes. They freak out. He says, "It is I. Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid." You remember Peter says, "If it's you, bid me to come," and remember, and he says, "Okay, come on, Peter." And Peter did it. He went for a while, right? And then he sank. That's a whole nother sermon for another day, isn't it? He saves Peter. He gets in the boat. The other gospel accounts tell us that immediately when Jesus got in the boat, the storm stilled instantaneously, miraculously. And then we're told here in John chapter 20, or verse 21, that when he gets the boat, immediately they're transformed to the shore. Kind of like a mini rapture. Immediately they get. Now, I want you to notice how quick things happen when Jesus moves. And how radical it is. And how tough it might be in that storm, and how you cry out and you struggle, but when he comes, It's over quickly. He comes, he walks on the water, he gets in the boat, the storm stills, and immediately they're at the shore. How powerful is Jesus Christ? How wonderful he is. I want to encourage you to embrace these storms of life and to be courageous in the storms of life. Now, I don't want to demean how tough they can be. Storms are real. You shed real tears in storms. You experience real pain in storms. They're not easy. They're very difficult. But listen, there are wonderful things that come out of storms. And number one, in a storm, you will always meet God in a new way. You will always come to know God better. The disciples saw Jesus in a whole different light after this night, in ways like they would never see God if they never experienced that night. Jesus revealed himself to them in a wonderful, radical way. In fact, Jesus revealed more of his deity to them. I want you to see something. I think this is so beautiful. Look again at verse 20. Look at what Jesus said to them. "It is I. Do not be afraid." See those three words in English? "It is I." In the Greek language, it's ego, eimi. Ego, eimi. I point that out because it's a very, very important phrase. It's theologically loaded. Ego, eimi, literally means I am. I am. And it's emphatic. It's emphasized. For those of you who speak Spanish, when you hear the word hablo, what does that mean? I speak, right? I check that with some of my Spanish-speaking friends before church. Okay, what happens if you say yo hablo? I speak, but it's emphatic. It's more emphasized. In Greek language, eimi means I am. Ego eimi, I am. Emphatic, emphasized. In the Old Testament, do you remember that story where Moses asked God what his name is? And what was God's name? I am. That I am. On that dark night, as they're terrified, they think they see a ghost. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. I am. I am is here." They saw Christ in a much different way. And we know that because Matthew's account tells us at the end that those who were on the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After that night, they fell on their faces and they worshiped Jesus as the Son of God. Gang, listen. In a storm, you will meet God in a new way. You will experience him in a new way. You will come to know him better. And that's a great thing. Number two, in a storm, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see miracles like you've never seen before. You're going to see God do things that you wouldn't see him if you didn't go through that storm. Think of all the miracles that the disciples saw that night. In fact, I'm willing to bet that in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead, as they looked back on that night, I don't think they remembered any of the pain. I don't think they remember any part of the rowing. I don't think they remember being exhausted. I don't think they remember being waterlogged. I think they remembered the glory. I think they remembered the miracles. Looking back, I can hear them talking. You remember that night? You remember that night? Yeah, when Jesus walked to us on the water. You remember that night, Peter, when you were walking for a bit? You remember how the storm stilled as soon as Jesus got in our boat. Do you remember how effortlessly we got to the shore? You remember the miracles, not the pain. You remember what God has done. You remember his touch. And that's why I would also say to every member of the church here, man, if you got to get involved in ministry. You got to be rowing. You got to be in there and doing it. You know, I've done ministry for many years, and I've gone through so many difficult things in life. Anybody who's in ministry goes through hard times. But you forget about all the hard times. You remember the miracles. You remember the power. As it's been said, if you never climb a mountain, then you'll never bruise your shins. But you also never stand on its peak, exulting in victory in the alpine air. If you never play baseball, you're never going to strike out. But you'll never hit a home run either. If you never obey or serve Christ, you may miss some of life's contrary winds. But you will also never know the winds of the Holy Spirit in your sails, bearing you on in service and power. You miss that. You miss that. Oh, please don't miss that. Let God use your life, no matter how hard it gets. And I will also tell you this. Storms always make you better. If you cooperate, they will make you better. They will make you stronger. They will give you a stronger faith. They will give you a greater dependence upon the Lord. You become a more powerful witness. You do. You become more mature. You grow up. You become a veteran. You develop a capacity to be used in a greater way. The disciples got stronger that night. And don't forget, after Jesus dies, rises again, and before he ascends, he tasks those guys with going out into the whole world and preaching the gospel. That's quite a task. And they went out there, and they did it faithfully. After the day of Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the church is born. They go out. But oh, the price they paid. You talk about opposition. They were imprisoned. They were beaten. Many of them were martyred. They had to stand before the very crowd that crucified Christ and boldly proclaim the gospel message. You couldn't stop them because they'd been through storms already. They'd seen Jesus walk on the water. They've seen the deliverance. They've known his power. How do you stop men and women like that? You do get stronger. You get wiser. You get wiser. When you go through a storm in life and God meets you, there are these lessons that you learn that you'll never forget. Deep in the heart, deep in your spirit, deep in your soul, These precious, wonderful nuggets of truth that you can hang on to. And by the way, a lot of times when you go through a storm and you get this wisdom, you are then able to help others when they go through a similar storm. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Think of that. Become wise, stronger, tougher. I believe the storms in life bring direction, correction, protection. I think sometimes the Lord sends us into a storm to protect us, believe it or not, from maybe a thinking that we shouldn't have, or maybe a behavior, or maybe a course of life. Maybe we're getting our priorities mixed up. And so a storm is sent to wake us up. You remember what happens in this chapter. You remember Jesus feeds the multitude, and everybody goes crazy and thinks Jesus is their political leader, the political Messiah. Oh, we want to start an insurrection. Oh, we want you to take over Rome. We want you to be our materialistic savior, our political savior. Oh, we want... And you know, that is something that the disciples would have loved to sign up for. In fact, it probably excited them. Yeah. Jesus says, huh, hold back. In the whole John chapter 6, he tells them, I didn't come to be that. I came to be a spiritual savior. And so before all of that interaction, like we've been studying the last week, Jesus sends his men out on a boat into a storm to prepare them. You know, by the end of John chapter 6, a lot of folks have left Jesus, not the disciples. In verse 68, Simon Peter answers Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We don't understand everything, but we're with you because we were on that angry sea last night and you came to us. There's tremendous, wonderful things that come out of storms. So be courageous. Stick it out. Amen? Fight. Hold on. You know, I think there's another great symbol here. I talk about that vision of the church. And now here we are in the world and we're rowing and we're working. I love how this passage ends up in John. It's almost like a rapture, right? You know, right now we're in the days of the church where it's time to work. One day Jesus is coming for his church and we'll be gone. And that can happen at any time. Jesus said, right now it's day. But the night is coming where nobody will work anymore. Hey, we're here. It's daytime. Let's row. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for how real your word is. How honest. And Lord, right now, I want to pray for anyone here who belongs to you and is going through a very difficult time in life. I know, Lord, there are many. There are many. And Father, we know that it hurts and it's not easy. But I do pray, Lord, that you would lift up their spirits. I do pray, Lord, that they would remember that your eye is upon them. Lord, reveal yourself, more of yourself to them. And then, Lord, do miracles through it, in them and through them. Pray that they would hold on to you. Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning who have just been kind of sitting in the boat. I pray that you would put a fire under them. Lord, I pray that every one of us who knows you would in some way, somehow be involved in what you are doing and reaching out to this world. Pray we'd be courageous in the ministry that you've called us to. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not received you as Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you came to church today because you're going through a crazy time in life, and you decided, man, I'm going to check out church. You know, those crazy times in life, those storms in life can be the most important moments in your life because God is truly getting your attention. He's putting you flat on your back. So the only way to look is up. And that could be you here this morning. And you need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He sees you. He died on the cross for your sins. He's alive today. I believe he's right here in our presence. And through faith in him, you can become a child in the family of God. And you can become safe and secure in his family. Have you received him? I'd love to invite you right now, right where you're seated, right there. Just in your heart, sort of raise your hand up to him. Just say, Lord, take my hand. Take my heart. Be my Savior. Wash away all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I invite you into my life. Make me born again. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me a brand new start. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me?